Hello again, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. If you've joined us today by computer, we welcome you as you listen from anywhere in the United States, literally anywhere in the world. And we welcome you today if you've come to our website, downloaded this particular edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. Amen. We welcome you today, and we do pray earnestly that we might be a blessing to you as we gather around the Word of God and we receive from His own heart and mouth, literally. It's, you know, the Bible said all Scripture, every bit of it, is given by the inspiration of God. One translation, very close to the original Greek, says that every Scripture is God-breathed. That's why Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." Praise the Lord. Amen. God breathed upon that clay that He had fashioned, and it became a living soul. Praise God. And God can breathe through His Word His life into you today. Praise the Lord. If you're not a Christian today, we want you to be our special guest. Hang out with us a little while. Praise God. Amen. And see the reason for the songs and the hymns of faith and hope and love and power that you've just been listening to. We pray you'll be our special guest today. And if you are a Christian, I want you to get ready to get God's Word way down on the inside of your heart today. There are so many distractions, other things that can enter in and choke the Word. We need desperately these times that we can just draw aside. Amen. If you're where you can, if you're driving, you watch and pray. Amen. But if you're where you can, just get your cup of coffee about this time, a glass of iced tea, whatever beverage you enjoy except alcoholic. Amen. And just sit back and let's just relax in the Lord and open our heart as well as our ears and mind to receive what He has to say from His holy Word today. We've got a great subject that we're dealing with, similar to the past subject about hope, and it's trusting in the God who will not let you fall. Amen. And we discussed very clearly last week that it isn't our grip on God that is our safety and security. It is our trust and faith in His grip on us. Praise God. Hallelujah. We take our text from Isaiah chapter 41, a great, powerful, personal promise from God to His covenant people, of which if you trusted Christ as your Savior, whether you be Jew or Gentile, this promise is yours today. Hallelujah. It's borne out throughout all of the new covenant as well as here in the old. Isaiah 41, 9 through 11 simply says, "Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all those that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish." I want to read another paraphrase of this. "I pulled you from all over the world, called you in from every dark corner of the earth, telling you, you're my servant, serving on my side. I've picked you. I haven't dropped you. Don't panic. I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I am your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady, and I'll keep a firm grip on you." Praise God. Amen. I'm so glad. When I go to the Bible, when I read the Holy Scriptures, now no wonder faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, because the Scriptures speak so very clearly and so powerfully unto us. God doesn't mince words. He says, I am this. I will do that. I will not leave you. I will never forsake you. I am your God. Hallelujah. Everything He says is in such a clear, concise, emphatic statement. As Beretta used to say, if you're from that era, you can take it to the bank. Amen. God is faithful to us, His covenant people, and He's faithful, therefore, as the Scriptures declare, to watch over His Word to perform it. Amen. And God is watching over His Word that I just read to you just now. If you, by faith, reach up and take a hold of His promise, there is no place in life that is so dark and deep that He will not pull you out. Praise God. Amen. I believe in this God who is committed to me today. And the reason that I can be faithful to Him is because every time that I sense these overwhelming feelings and circumstances surround me, I reach out to Him in a childlike dependence that He will not let me fall, because He is so very faithful. Jude chapter 1 and verse 24 bears this great truth out in the new covenant. In the old covenant, He said, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And it doesn't mean to add His strength to your strength. That word of that, there's still a weak element there. And guess which one it is? It's your strength and it's mine. We can falter. We can waver. But God, as the Scripture said, is our rock. Hallelujah. Praise God. He is stable. He is faithful. He is not inconsistent, but consistent. And we can confidently lean on Him and look to Him. When He said, I'll uphold you, it is the Hebrew word that meant to totally pick up. It is not God coming alongside and just putting His arm around you and supporting you so that part of your victory is based on your own ability to stand. It's God picking you up and carrying you. You know, it's almost a cliche now. It probably is the beautiful sentiment in that story, Footprints. And the idea of that, and I can't quote it verbatim, but the idea of it is that I'm walking along the sandy shore and I'm looking down and I only see one set of footprints. And I'm saying, Lord, I thought that You promised me You'd never leave me, but I only see one set of footprints. And God answers and said, there's only one set of footprints, my child, because I am carrying you. Amen. This is what this word uphold means. It means to pick you up until it is not your strength at all. Paul put it this way about his Christian walk in the new covenant and what's available to you and me today. He said, I'm dead, but yet I'm alive. And yet it's no more I that live, but it's Christ that liveth in me. So many people that I talk to say, Pastor, I can't live the Christian life and I'm not going to be a hypocrite and come to church. I've heard it all. And I tell them over and over and over again, John's gospel declares, amen, that they that received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. You don't have to change yourself. All you have to do is change your mind about who you're going to serve. Change your mind about sin and come to Christ as your Savior. Once you invite Him into your heart, amen. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man open the door, I will come in and sup with him and him with me. Praise God. Once you let Him in, He begins that mighty work of change from the inside
inside out.
Hallelujah. That's why the Bible said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Take it seriously, but take it so serious that you dare not try to do this on your own. I love that scripture that said it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's God. Listen, I can't live the Christian life. I, Robert A. Venable, who desires it so much, I can't in and of myself, by my strength, do that. But there is a mighty God who said He would come into my life. He would come into my heart. He would begin a work within me. And not only would He begin it, He would reveal His will to me. And when I bow to that will, He will perform it. So it's no more I that live, but it is Christ that lives it in me and through me. I can't take credit for staying true to God for all of these years. God is the one who gets the credit. I can only take credit for keeping my trust in the one who will not let me fall. Jude chapter 1 and verse 24 said, now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Praise God. Amen. We're going to move forward this week, and I'm going to make a very clear statement right here and now. I need Jesus to uphold me when temptations draw me. And temptations do draw me. As I read the scripture, it makes it very plain to me that there is no state of sanctification where you are beyond being tempted. That's why the Bible said, blessed is the man that endures, not escapes, but endures temptation. For when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Blessed, happy to be envied, is the man who through God's grace, God's power, God's faithfulness, is able to endure temptation. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Listen to it carefully. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Hallelujah. I like that. You know, we almost communicate that in a way that would seem to say, but be ye faithful. There's no way you can be faithful unless you get a hold of God's faithfulness and put your trust in Him. God's faithfulness to you is what allows you to be faithful to Him. Praise the Lord. And God is faithful, who will not suffer, which means allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you might be able to bear it. Wherefore, dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. We don't have to bow to false gods. We don't have to go back to that old way of living and thinking. There is victory in Jesus Christ for everyone that is listening today. It doesn't matter what your circumstance is. If the Creator of heaven and earth knows how to deliver you, and He's got the power to do it. But He does it when we simply begin to trust Him to do what we could never do. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. It's a little bit lengthy, but it does what the Bible, what this book says, the Amplified New Testament. It amplifies it to us. It says, therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands, who feels sure he has a steadfast mind and is standing firm, take heed lest he fall into sin. For no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance, and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to the human experience, such as a man can bear. But God is faithful to His word and to His compassionate nature, and He can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, He will always provide the way out, the means of escape, so that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. Therefore, my beloved, shun, keep clear away from, avoid by flight if need be, any sort of idolatry of loving or venerating anything more than God. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You stay in love with Jesus today, and the devil's going to bring you every kind of temptation to try to capture your heart. But when your heart belongs to the Lord, He will fail. We can overcome, not just by our own resolve, amen, but our trust in the God who will not let us fall. God's faithfulness, therefore, is the key to our own victory over temptation. It's not our faithfulness to God, it's God's faithfulness to us, and then our faithfulness to God. When you recognize that you're being drawn to something that God forbids, be honest. Be honest about the feeling, the drawing, the temptation. Don't try to become so sanctimonious and so such a super saint, if you please, because there is no such thing. Because when a man thinks he stands, when you think you're above it, that's when you're going to get caught. But if you understand your weaknesses and you put your trust in God and you trust in Him through Jesus Christ, and when you feel the pull of temptation, you cry out to Him. And I'm going to go a step further and say, if you fall into temptation, that you recover yourself, you repent, and you come back to God. I'm going to tell you today, the devil will tell you God's done with you, God's through with you. Why don't you just go full out into sin? And why don't you give up on God? Why go to church? Why try to serve Him? Don't be a hypocrite. Honey, it's not hypocritical to get up when you fall down. It's not hypocritical to come back to God when you know you've drifted away. God waits and awaits you with open arms. When you repent, God is ready to restore. And that is Christian victory to me. It's not never getting knocked down, but it's always getting back up. You know, 1 John says, if we say that we have absolutely no sin, if we say we have no sin at all, we lie. We're not being honest. And we do not the truth. But if we confess our sin, when we realize it, He is faithful and He is just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all iniquity and unrighteousness. Again, He is faithful. And it is His faithfulness to forgive and restore that causes us once again to walk in faithfulness before the Lord. I like 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 22 through 24. Let's look at that together. It said, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, wholly. And I pray that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful. There's that word describing God's unchanging character and person. Faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it. Praise God. The one who called you, one paraphrase said, is completely dependable. If He said it, He will do it.
I need Jesus to hold me when temptation draws me. And I need Jesus to hold me when I feel forsaken and discouraged, even if my own foolish sin caused the problem. Look at Psalm 42:11. It said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" David goes on to say, "Why art thou cast down? Hope thou in God, for he shall yet be the health of thy countenance. But we all get cast down. Philip Keller, who was a great mind and an intellectual, but he was also a shepherd for many years. And he wrote a number one bestseller back in 1970 called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. In the psalm, David says that the good shepherd restores our souls. And as a former shepherd himself, Keller offers some insightful information about the relationship between a shepherd and his sheep. In Psalm 42:11, David cries out, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" The word cast or cast down is a shepherd's term for a sheep that is turned over on its back and can't get up by itself. If the shepherd doesn't arrive on the scene within a short time, the sheep will more than likely die. That's why a good shepherd keeps a watch over the flock daily. He counts his sheep, and he knows if any are missing. And if one is missing, he goes out after it. Chances are the helpless animal is cast down and is in grave danger. It needs to be restored back to its upright position. And we, friends of mine, must view our wandering brothers and sisters in the same way. They need help getting back on their feet. The last thing they need is neglect or rejection. You know, the Bible says in the New Covenant, "Lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knee." Amen. Lest that person be turned out of the way, become so discouraged in God and discouraged with themselves that they just give up following Jesus, and the enemy then draws them back into the bondage of sin and darkness. You see, once a sheep is cast, its center of gravity is shifted. It cannot get up by itself. And when that happens, it's just a matter of time before the wolves, the lions, and other predators will devour it alive. People are the same way, and mature Christians know this and have a deep concern for wandering sheep, a longing to find the missing one. Our delight comes in restoring them to their feet. No clearer image of the importance of this restoration is portrayed when Jesus tells the owner who leaves the 99 who are safe and secure, and he goes and searches for that one. Friends, you may be the one today. You may be the one that is a cast sheep. And if you are, you're cast down and you can't deliver yourself, I want you to know that God, his attention, make no mistake about it, you are the center of his attention. Oh, he loves me. He's keeping me. I feel at this moment, I'm not saying, "Behold, I stand." I'm saying, "Behold, I trust Christ with all my heart, soul, mind, amen, and body. I lean on him. I look to him. I'm not boasting in my ability to stand, but in his faithfulness to me, his mercy to me, his grace to me. But I want you to know today, I am not the one that has his heart's greatest concern at this moment, but it's the one who is discouraged, the one who has fallen and doesn't feel they have the strength to get back up. And in fact, you can't on your own. But I'm telling you, there's a good shepherd that is searching for you. And I believe he's right where you are right this very moment. And I believe that if you will put childlike faith and trust in him ask His forgiveness if there's a sin issue. But if you're just discouraged and you think God is going to look at you and say, if you can't take the heat, stay out of the kitchen, you are sadly mistaken. Remember when Peter got out of the boat? We talked about it last week. Jesus bid him come as Christ walked the water in the midst of a storm, and impetuous Peter jumped out of the boat and he began to walk the water toward Jesus. And the storm intensified, and Peter, in his humanity, just like you and me, became distracted from keeping his eyes on Jesus and keeping his mind on the Word of God. He began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And I love the response of Jesus. He didn't say, you shouldn't have got out of the boat if you weren't going to keep your eyes on me. If you don't stand on the Word properly, then you're just going to sink. And you better get back on the Word. You know what he did? Immediately, the Bible said, without hesitation, immediately, Jesus reached out, grabbed Peter by the hand, and lifted him up. And together, Peter and Jesus walked the water back to the boat. But make no mistake about it, he was being upheld, held up completely by Jesus' strength and none of his own. Praise the Lord. Amen. I believe God is standing willing and ready to do that for you today, right where you are in your circumstance, with the sense of all your weaknesses and inabilities, even your failures. I want you to know that God is standing ready today to pick you up, to pull you out. David put it this way, he lifted me from the miry clay. Miry clay, you can't extract yourself from. But there is one who will reach down to you and pull you out. He said he didn't just lift me out of the miry clay. He didn't place me on some slippery slope so I'd keep sliding back in. He put my feet on a rock. And then he put a song, hallelujah, in my heart. The humble shall hear thereof, and they're going to be glad. You know why people crushed by life? This is humble in the negative sense, meaning crushed by life's pressures and problems. They're going to hear what God did for this man who was also crushed by life's problems and pressures and his own failures. That God pulled him out. God pulled him through. And they're going to be so glad to know that if God did it for David, God will do it for them. And friend, I believe with all of my heart, if you will put your trust in His faithfulness today, that God will do the same thing for you. That He will pull you out of that pit, put your feet on a rock today. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today, this God who commits Himself to us the day we accept Him as our Savior, to be our Heavenly Father, to be our Good Shepherd, to be our mighty, merciful King, He will keep you. He will do the work within you. He'll change you from the inside out. Praise God. So come to Him. Place your whole weight upon Him. Fall upon Him today. Amen. And God will do the rest. Repent of your sin and invite Jesus in. Hallelujah. And you will go free from your prison. The chains will break. And you can call the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of heaven and earth, your heavenly Father, and Jesus, your very best friend. Hallelujah. We love you today. Come back next week, will you? And let's talk about Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Knowing nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all.
righteousness.